All right, well, take your Bible this morning. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we move forward a little bit this morning. And we spent quite some time in Ephesians 5, but in this new chapter, we're still dealing with some similar subjects. We've been, in a sense, weaving through all of the family relationships. And so we've dealt with wives and their responsibility toward their husbands. The reverse side of that is the husbands and their responsibility toward their wives. And now we're going to look at children and their responsibility toward their parents. So we're going bottom up. Next week, we'll look top down and parents and their responsibility toward their children. But for now, we're going bottom up. So you can see we're weaving through all of these different relationships. If you can just picture a family up here, we're trying to see how does this person deal with that person, this person deal with that person, and so forth. The only ones we're not dealing with are the sibling-to-sibling ones, the brother-to-brother, the sister-to-sister, the brother-sister, and the sister-to-the-brother one. I don't think Paul gives any instruction on those because I think he just says you'll figure it out. It's not hard. Just beat the other one up and try to come out on top, not crying. Instructions simple. Annoy them, take their clothes, wrestle them, whatever it takes, but not complicated. So no instructions on that one. But we're going to deal with the children to the parent relationship today. And so if you're able, would you please stand with me as we read the instructions given this morning? The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. We pray, Lord, this is a text that is very useful, very much needed in our country, in our church, in our families, and all along the way. And so would you bless your word as it goes forth, and may it be powerful and quick and sharp, just as you've called it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I want to start with the very first word there. What's the very first word of Ephesians 6, verse 1? Children. That's who this passage is dealing with. We're dealing with children this morning. And now the immediate question that comes up, at least comes to my mind, is who's the child? Are we dealing with just young children? Are we dealing with the whole spectrum? Because give me a quick raise of hand, give me a quick farmer wave or whatever it takes if you're a child in here. Okay, that covers just about everybody. Now, same question. If you have parents who are still living, raise your hand. Okay, not everybody is that the case, but for most people that is the case. So question, are we dealing with just toddlers who can understand English, who can understand a simple command? Are we dealing with beyond that to teenagers? Do you stop becoming a child when you become a teenager? Or do you stop being a child when you're 20 years old, when you get married? So who's the child that's being dealt with in this passage? Well, I think in some sense the answer is going to be yes. If you have living parents, I think to some degree in this passage, this speaks to you. It goes across that spectrum in the general sense. The reason that I think that is because there's a command in here. Honor your father and mother. So the obeying your parents part is going to pass away, but the honor your parents part, that never passes away. And the reason that I'm confident that that's the case is because in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus gets after the Pharisees. The Pharisees actually come to him, doing their typical thing, trying to stick him in a corner so they can get him in trouble. And when they come to him, they say, "Why do your disciples break tradition and not wash their hands before they eat?" And so there's that tradition. He looks back at them, and he says this, "Well, why do you break the commandments in order to keep your tradition?" And then he explains that. How are they doing that? Well, they had this thing they could declare. There's a word for it. I can't remember what it is. But they could declare this word. And what that word basically meant was that I'm going to take what I owe to you, my parent, and I'm going to give it to God. So the honor that's due you, I'm going to do the spiritual, sacrificial, humble act and just say,
I'm taking that from you, and I'm giving it all to God. And you know, everyone around them would have looked at him and go, oh, that's good. You're such a spiritual person for doing that, for sacrificing the honor due to your parents and giving that to God. But when he does that, when they do that, Jesus says, you're actually keeping a tradition. That thing that you can declare, that's not biblical. And you're taking away from the commandment of God. What commandment? Honor your father and mother. Now, you got to keep in mind with that, Pharisees, they weren't teenagers. They weren't little kids. I doubt there was even 20-year-olds. They were the older people. They were the ruling people, the leaders of the synagogues. They didn't let teenagers run their synagogues. They weren't going to listen to them that way. They let them grow up before they gave them that leadership. These were people who were in the Sanhedrin, Jewish Supreme Court, older men, mature men, gray hair maybe. And Jesus looks at them and says, you still have to do that. And so I think there is a sense when we come to the passage that says, honor your father and honor your mother, it speaks to everybody here. But if you look at it within its context, I think there is most of the direct application to children still living in their home. I think that's mostly who Paul's singling out here. If you're a child, what's defined as a child, if you're still in your parents' home, if they're still providing the food for you, if they're still providing your income, if they're still providing the shelter for you, you're a child. You're a child that this passage is speaking to. So, is this speaking to teenagers? Yes. Is this speaking to people in junior high? Even more, yes. And is this speaking to toddlers and on up through the grade school years? That's without a doubt in this passage. So that's who we're speaking to first and foremost. I will apply it in the general sense, though, when we get to the honor part. Now, before I get farther into this, I want to give you a outline of where we're going, kind of give you a roadmap. You can then kind of follow through this with this. Really simple. Number one, who are we speaking to? Just answered that, children. Number two, there's a command. That command is then followed by a reason. Number three, there is another command, and that command is followed by another reason. So, command, reason, command, reason. That's how this passage is laid out. Well, what's the first command? Verse 1, children, what's the word? Obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Most directly, as I'm said, most directly applied to children still living in their parents' house under their parents' authority. Children, obey the Lord. That word, obey, it comes from a word, it's hupa. Man, I said this four times before I got up here. I'm trying to read it again. I actually wrote it in Greek in my notes. hupa kuo. There, I got it. Hupa kuo. First word of that, break it down. Hupa means under. Kuo means listen. Simply put, what's it mean to obey? Get under and listen. Get under them, listen. Obey your parents, submit to your parents, and do what you're told. I want to point out this is not a suggestion. This is a command. It is a command, and it said, do it in the Lord. So, in other words, what I get from that is that when Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord, he's saying this, that your obedience to your parents is actually obedience to the Lord. So if you want to obey the Lord, you've got to first obey your parents. If you want to obey God, then you've got to obey those who are less under you. You remember that passage Jesus said, First John. First John, how can you love a God you do not see if you cannot love the people who are right in front of you? Same thing. How can you obey a God you cannot see if you do not obey your parents who are right in front of you? So obeying your parents equal to obeying God. Obeying God means to obey your parents. That's what it means to do this in the Lord. Now, reverse side of that, rebel against your parents, rebel against the Lord. There's an equating going on here. Obey, obey. Rebel, rebel. They're one and the same. And so you can actually tell a child's testimony. You can tell their walk with God based on how they treat their parents.
You can tell your own walk with God based on how you treat your parents. And so obey your parents in the Lord. Colossians 3:20 says this, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." You want to please the Lord as a child. If you want to please the Lord as a youth, if you want to please the Lord as a teenager, it starts with this. Obey your parents. Step one. Now, there's a reason given for this call. That reason is given in the second part of verse 1. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. And then what's the reason? See this? For this is right. For this is right. I love how Paul is so pointed in that. You know, in our day and age, postmodern, they call it, there's a great debate on whether there is truth or not. Is it absolute? Is it relative? Is there one standard? Is there not? Paul says, I don't care about any of that. There is, period. There is a standard. It's up here. It's a box. It's called right. And one of the things that fits in that box is obeying your parents. It's right. Period. Can't argue. Therefore, to not is wrong. That's what the Bible says. So, you think about this. The Bible doesn't call you to obey your parents because they're a genius. The Bible doesn't call you to obey your parents because they've got everything figured out. The Bible doesn't even call you to obey your parents because they do everything perfect. Because they don't. And they won't. The Bible says obey your parents because it's right. And you might think in your own heart, well, do I really have to do this? I'm a teenager after all. Do I really have to obey my parents? Take an example from Jesus. Story that goes on, Luke chapter 2, you know, the glorious, miraculous birth of Jesus and the manger, the Christmas story and all that. Soon after that, you come right into a passage. Jesus is 12 years old, right on the edge of becoming a teenager. And in Luke 2, his parents had the tradition going up for the Passover feast, go up to Jerusalem, celebrated that feast, were on their way back home, who knows how far away, and they had one of those heart attacks, and they thought, all right, if it comes back on, great, I'll go from there. But anyway, so you can imagine, I got to learn to stay close here again, I'll just hang on. As you can imagine, you know, put yourself in Mary and Joseph's shoes, and you just went through this miraculous birth. You just went through all of the angels coming and saying, you're going to have a son, you're conceived of the Holy Spirit, that whole mess where you thought you know, my betrothed one is pregnant and I didn't do it. And, you know, all of the upsetness and everything that comes forward, the angels' visits, the shepherds' visits, and all the glory that shines and all that kind of stuff. And you turn around and you look, oh, man, I just lost the Son of God. And so you can imagine the heart attack that they had, but what they did was they went back and said, we're going to find that guy. And they went back to Jerusalem. They looked for him for 3 days, and they found him eventually preaching and teaching in the temple, sitting among the teachers. But from that point forward, you know, he says, you know, didn't you expect me to be here? Where else do you think I'd be? I am the Son of God after all. But after that, Mary, the Bible says, treasured these things up in her heart, and Jesus was submissive to his parents. And so you can think, am I a teenager? I really got to submit to my parents. Did Jesus? He's 12 years old, and from that point forward, he did as well. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'm going to broaden this a little bit more now. So all of that's pretty pointed right to people who are still living in their household. But if you're like, well, I'm out of there and I'm bored, let me spread this now to everybody. The second command here is the general command. This is the one that Jesus said, it established, it is true of you whether you're 4 years old or whether you're 64 years old. If your parents are still alive, this still goes through your life. So look at the second command, verse 2. Honor your father and mother. First command, what is it? Obey. Second command, what is it? Honor. So we start with obey. Now we move into the realm of honor. Keep a finger here. Flip back to Leviticus chapter 19. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Chapter 19. I want to show you a passage. You're quite familiar with it, I'm sure. And you could probably finish it if I start it. Come on, see if I'm on. Am I on now? Still no? Okay. We won't worry about it. It's a familiar passage to you. Look at verse 2. Speaking to all the congregation, I want you to finish this sentence. Moses said this. Speaking to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, you shall be what? Holy. For I, the Lord your God, am holy. You know that passage. It's familiar. And so you can finish it. Be holy because I'm holy. Interesting thing to me is what comes right after that. You'd expect, okay, how do I be holy? How do we answer that question? Look at verse 3 now. Every one of you shall revere, respect, or reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I, the Lord, am your God. So someone might ask this question. How do I be a holy child? How do I be a holy adult? First thing God points to in this passage, honor your parents. That's step number one. It's what comes first. Now, what does it mean to honor? I think you already know the answer to that. You know, you got the problem that goes on today, people disrespecting the flag, people dishonoring the flag and that sort of stuff in the protest. You know what it means to honor. You can honor a flag. You can honor our troops. You can honor a pastor. You can honor another person. You can honor your boss. Same thing. Honor your parents. What's it mean? Very simply, it means to give them weight, to hold them high, to give great value to them. It's the opposite of thinking light of them. It's the opposite of thinking, well, I don't care what they say. It's the opposite of just blowing them off, being rude, and they tell you something and you just walk the other way because you don't care. It's holding them in high esteem. It's broader than just action. When you think of obey, I just think of action. Mom says to do it, do it. But when you think of honor, it actually has to do with attitude. You ever get spanked as a child? Not for doing the wrong thing, but having the wrong attitude? That's because you dishonored your parents in that way. It has to deal with attitude. So I'm going to go through this in two different directions. First, what does it look like as a child in the house to honor your parents? And then secondly, what does it look like as an adult to honor your parents? So start with the children, and then we'll work up through the years. Three things I wrote down here. Number one is this, respect their authority. They tell you to do something, don't argue with them. Don't go, just do it. Mom says clean, clean. Dad says mow the lawn, don't argue, don't sigh, just go mow the lawn. Simple put is that. Say yes, ma'am, yes, sir. You can respect someone greatly that way. If you learn those two words as a kid, I think you really will do well in life. Yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Don't argue with it. Number two, seek and value their counsel. Proverbs 1, 8, and 9 says this, hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. What that says is your father's and your mother's instruction to you, they actually make you beautiful. They make you do well in life. You know, they teach you to brush your teeth. I hated brushing my teeth as a kid, but I'm glad they taught me that. They teach you to take a shower. You know, as kids, you hate showers too. But I'm glad I learned that. And now they've become to make me the beautiful. but all that kind of stuff, anywhere from cleaning to working and all that instruction and work hard, keep a job, it's worthwhile, don't be lazy and all that sort of stuff. It's what makes you do well in life. What makes you a good looking person, and it decorates you in life. And so if you rebel against your parents until the day you move out, you're going to have a lot more troubles in life. They're trying to teach you well. I'll talk more about that later. But number one, respect their authority. Number two, seek and value their counsel. Number three, accept their discipline. Accept their discipline. My wisdom to kids who mess up severely, lightly, whatever it might be, it is always the same. It's this: go to your parents, say, I messed up. So confess it. Will you forgive me? And I will accept whatever consequences you give. Accept the consequences. Proverbs 13:1 says this: a wise son hears his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Good parents set lines for their children. Good parents set lines for their children. You might think they just want me to be miserable. That's not true. There's not a lot worse than living with a miserable teenager. They don't just want to make you miserable. They actually do it because they love you. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him, he loves him. He's diligent to discipline him. I'd be thankful that your parents love you enough to discipline you. Hebrews 12:6 says the Lord does the same thing with all who are his loved ones. It says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And again, Proverbs 3:11-12, do not despise, don't hate it. Don't despise the Lord's discipline. Don't be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him who he loves. I think I've said it before, but it's very true, and it fits right here. My coach said one time, basketball high school, he said, as long as I'm yelling at you, don't be afraid, because it means I still care. It's when I stop yelling at you that you should be worried, because it means I've given up. In other words, I care when I chasten you. I care when I correct you. I care when I write down the lines and I hold you to them. He didn't use the word love. It wasn't that kind of thing. But that's what it is with your parents. They love you if they discipline you. You may not understand it all now. One day it will make sense. I think most of you could raise your hand if I were to ask, how many of you thought your parents were fools as children and now see they're a little bit wiser than I thought? Mark Twain was actually reputed to say that. He said, when I was 17, I thought my dad was an idiot. When I grew up to be 21, I was amazed at how much that man had learned in 4 years. And so accept their discipline, learn from it, and you'll be wise. You'll have success in life. So don't argue, number one. Say yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Seek and value their counsel. Accept their discipline. Now let me move it up. When you grow up, you've moved out of your parents' house. Command is still to you. Honor your father and mother. How do you do that as an adult? A few things I suggest here. Number one is this. Visit your parents. Visit them. Talk to them. Send them a text. It's simple. But whatever it is, still give them attention. I think a lot of people fall into the trap. My parents get old. They have nothing to offer. And I don't need to visit them. And I don't know if that's you in here or not. I know that goes around in nursing homes a lot. A lot of that mindset is, my parents are old, so I'm just going to stick them in the nursing home, and they can take care of them. I don't need to visit them. I know some of you work in those nursing homes, and you see that. Don't do that. Honor your parents. Go visit them. Illustration with my grandma. If you meet my grandma, she's a pretty straightforward lady. She doesn't That's just the best way to say it. She's straightforward, pretty hard-lined. And we went over there. You remember the eclipse last year? Big news. I remember that day. We went on up to Nebraska because my grandma lives in Nebraska, right in the line of the dark out, the darkest place. And about 5 minutes from her house was the place where Bill Nye was going to be, and, you know, big crowd of several hundred or a thousand. We went out there for a little bit and came back to my grandma. Well, we stayed the night at my grandma's house, and I told her that we came to see you, but we used the eclipse to do that. And my grandma doesn't show a lot of emotion, but and she still didn't when I said that, but she got on the phone while we were still there, and she was talking to one of her friends, and she told them almost the same words. She said, yep, they came to see me, but they just used that eclipse as an excuse. And it was right there. I thought, well, man, that really meant something to her. And so that's my grandma, but it's the same thing with your parents. Visit them, not because you need something, not because you want something, but because they're your parents, and the Bible says to honor them. Number two, speak well of them. Speak well of them. Flip that around. Refuse to speak evil of them. I think most of us could find 100 things we could complain about our parents, but there is a difference about just simply talking through, here's the truth of the matter, and complaining. But I think one thing that we do that can honor our parents, refuse to speak evil about them. Believe it or not, in the Old Testament, if you cursed your parents to a high enough degree, there was a penalty of death for that. But speak well of your parents, speak well of them to your siblings, your spouse, your children. And if you want your children to honor you, well, teach them that by honoring your parents. Number three, honor their counsel. Honor their counsel. As an adult, you don't have to abide by it. They're not your authority anymore. You've moved out from underneath it. However, there is a lot of wisdom in still honoring and seeking and hearing their counsel and considering it. Sometimes they know you a little bit better than you know yourself. You know? They raised you. They knew you before you knew you. And an example of that really struck home to me. When I was in college, I came home to one of my friend's house. It was only him, and he was in his shed. He had wrecked his truck, just the front end of it, damaged it up, cosmetic stuff for the most part, I think. And he needed a new grill. I had broke that. He ordered one, got it in the mail when I was there. Again, parents away, and went out to the truck. And if I remember all this right, he went to the truck, couldn't figure out how to get the old grill off, and so I think he kind of broke some stuff, and whether he got it off or not, or whatever it was, and then he opened up that new grill, got it out of the box, gave it to me, telling me to hold it up to his truck, so I held it up to his truck. He stood back there and looked at it and said, oh, that looks good. That's going to look good, isn't it? Yep, it sure will. And then his dad comes home while we were still in the middle of all of that, and his dad looks at us, and he's really irritated at his son because he knew he's not going to do it right. And so I want to be there when he does this so it gets done right. And he looks at his son, and he starts to kind of just tell him, I bet you this is exactly how it went. I'll bet you opened that box up, you went and tried to get that old grill off and got frustrated and broke some stuff, and then I'll bet you that you had Toby hold that grill up to the truck, and then you stood back there and said, oh, that looks good, doesn't it? He says, isn't that how it went, Toby? A camera in here or something. But he knew his son as good as his son knew himself. And so there's value in considering the counsel of your parents because they know you. My friend's brother, who's actually another friend of mine, called this last week, and he said, I'd talk to my pastor, I'd talk to my wife, I'd talk to my friends, I'd talk to all kinds of people. I wanted to quit my job because it's not paying good, it's not going well, and I'm putting in way too many hours for this. And he said, I didn't want to talk to my dad because last time I did that, he told me, you just need to stick it out, you don't need to quit your job or any of that kind of stuff, you just need to learn to work and to tough it out. And he said, the last person I wanted to talk to was my dad, but I called my dad anyway, and he explained everything. His dad actually agreed with him. He got the counsel for his dad, and he honored him. He honored him by seeking that kind of counsel through his father. I'm talking, this is a married man. as a child on the way. So honor them through seeking their counsel. Number four, support them, take care of them. 1 Timothy 5:18, if anyone doesn't provide for his relatives, he's denied the faith, he's worse than an unbeliever. Typically, when I think of that, I'm thinking top down. Me providing for my wife and my kids. But this passage is actually talking about widows. It's talking about those who are older. And so I think it goes all the way across the board, but there is responsibility on behalf of the children to take care of their elderly parents in that. I think it's a real blessing, seen it before, to see children buy their parents' stuff. To see children go move somewhere to take care of their elderly parents, or move their parents to them or with them to take care of them. It's a way of honor. And so the first command is this, obey. Why should we do that? Because it's right. Second command, honor your father and mother. Reason behind that one now is this, because there's a promise. There's a promise behind it. That promise is in verse 3. Back to Ephesians 6. The promise in verse 3 is just this, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So two things are promised to those who honor their mother and father. Two things. Number one is this, quality of life. It'll go well with you. Number two is this, quantity of life. You'll live long in the land. I think you and I understand that that's not an ironclad rule. It's a general promise. There are young children, godly children, that die young. And there are rebellious people that live long. There's those kind of people. It is a general principle that those who live a more honest, straightforward, honoring to their parents sort of life, they do live longer, and they do have better lives. I thought this past week in regards to this. Some of you may have paid attention to the news quite a while ago now, but the hazing death of Timothy Piazza, Penn State. Did anyone hear about that? Okay, not a lot, but a few. Penn State hazing death, basically an initiation into a fraternity, a 19-year-old boy. They made him drink so much that they estimated his blood alcohol content and his blood to be 5 times the legal limit. Said that they made him drink a bottle of vodka, a can of beer, and a sack of wine, all within like 20 minutes. And what ended up happening is he ended up stumbling down the stairs of that house, hit himself in the head and wherever on the side pretty bad. His fraternity people picked him up, put him back on the couch, and they sort of, you know, brotherly beat him up a little bit. And certainly they're all drunk by then too. He sat up in pain, rolled off the couch. They quote, picked him up and slammed him back on the couch, sat up, fell off again, and as the time went on, he got up several times, fell into stuff head first over and over and over again. He eventually, after a long enough period of time, his friends found him behind a counter, cold and shaking. Finally, they got medical attention. By the time he got to the hospital, his brain was so swelled up, they had to cut off half of his skull cap. And eventually he died through all of that. It's a terribly tragic story. But it's a simple illustration that, now I don't know Timothy's upbringing. I don't know of his parents. I don't know what they taught him. I don't know if he was rebelling against them or if he was just going along with it. Certainly his friends had influence in all that as well. But it's a simple illustration to show that the rebellious sort of lifestyle is a risky lifestyle. You get involved in immorality, there's disease. You get involved in drunkenness and all that kind of stuff, and alcoholism, and there's the car wrecks, one of the leading preventable causes of death. And then you get into those party sorts of things. Good parents will tell their kids to stay away from that stuff. And kids that heed that instruction, they're promised the good and a long life. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17 says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother
will be picked out by ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. I think that's pretty serious. Yes, it is. That's how serious God is about honoring your parents, honoring your mother, honoring your father. If you can't learn to do that as a child, you'll set yourself up for a lot more failure, a lot more difficulty in life. Proverbs 6, verse 20 and 23 says, "My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they'll lead you. When you lie down, they'll watch over you. When you awake, they'll talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." Guidance, protection, teaching, discipline. Four things you cannot live without. Guidance, protection, teaching, and discipline. By honoring them, you honor God. And you know the Bible says, those whom the Lord honors, those who honor the Lord honors. So honor your parents in that way. Disobedience is the essence of all sin. It's a case of Satan from the very beginning. And so don't play into his hand that way. Don't be Satan's fool. Honor your parents. Unconditional obedience, you know the answer to that. Nope, you always obey God rather than man. The last thing that I want to cover here, and this will be right at the end here. The last thing I want to do this morning is answer this question. What if my parents were no good? What if my parents were evil? What if my parents did some horrible things to me and I cannot see one light of goodness from their raising me? Then what do I do? I want to give you a few points. Number one is this. Understand that God knew there would be parents like that when he gave this command. Understand that. He knew your parents would be sinful, but he didn't write this command to children who only have perfect parents because none of us would have to obey it then. So understand, God knew that there would be sinful parents, and yet he still issued this command. Number two is this, remove all bitterness toward them. Work at it. It's tough. It's a long process, but remove bitterness toward your parents. If God sovereignly put you in an unloving family, maybe he did that. So when you come forth as that, shining as gold, it would show his glory so much more. God specializes in making dark horses. You know what I mean by a dark horse? It's that come behind win. It's that kind of, you know, mutt sort of horse thinking, he ain't going to win nothing. And when he comes shining through at the beginning of the pack, why, the glory of Christ shines from that. He came from a no-name family, a dysfunctional family, a family that was anti-God, and here he comes, running straight to Christ, shining as a light of Christ's glory. God specializes in doing that, but he will not do that so long as bitterness remains. Number three, pray for them. Pour out your heart before God on their behalf. And number four is this, the last one, model Jesus for them. Let your honoring of them be your witness to them. Just like the wife who has a disobedient, unbelieving husband, the Bible says, let your conduct, your pure and your holy conduct, witness to them so you can win them without a word. So model Jesus for them. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Let's stand for closing. Would you please bow with me and close your eyes and don't look around. Think within. Consider yourself. I think the message is pretty straightforward in this verse. The Bible is simple. Wives are to submit. Husbands are to love. And children are to obey. In your own heart, would you say this? I want to be blessed by God. I want to be blessed by God. I want to live a full life. And I want to know his blessing all the way through. Just know that that starts right here, committing yourself to honoring your parents. adults and children alike. Are we honoring our parents like we ought to be? Do we respect them? Do we go out of our way for them? Do we visit them, talk to them, provide for them if they need it, heed their instruction, or do we ignore them, blow them off, treat them lightly? Do we need to forgive them? One way is the way of life. One way is the way of blessing. The other way is the way of death, the way of sin, the way of Satan, the way of disobedience. Does not bring blessing. Honor your parents. And honor God. Do you honor God with your life, your heavenly Father? I want to tell you this morning that that starts with a right relationship with Him. To know Jesus Christ personally, to know Him as your Lord, to know Him as your Savior, not just that He is a Savior, He is your Savior. I want to tell Him you can know Him today. It takes humble faith, humble repentance, and a turning to Him, saying, God, I know I've sinned. Would you forgive me? Make me your child. I give my life to you. So whatever the Lord's spoken to us about, let's take to Him a silent moment of prayer, and then I'll close. Let's pray.